This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 483. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, when I was at IBM in the 80s, cubes and offices were the big thing. But then in the last 20 years, it seems that open space offices were really the way to go for any progressive company. But now things are changing again. Here to lay it out for us is Bill Himmelstein, who founded Tenant Advisory Group LLC in July of 2008 after gaining experience at several major commercial real estate firms in Chicago. With over 17 years of being a tenant representative broker, he focuses his efforts on working with professional service firms, technology businesses, and private practice physicians. Bill, welcome to the show.
Barry, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm really glad that things are changing from open space because I just didn't get it. Why did open space offices just rocket so quickly to the top of everyone's list?
Yeah, the simplest answer is money. It costs a lot less if you occupy less space. So there really wasn't a lot of thought behind it other than, you know, if we take a lot less square foot per employee, we'll be spending a lot less money.
But I thought that had something to do, Bill, with this idea. Two things. First is with portable technology, that no longer did I have to sit at a desk with a big bulky monitor or a big bulky screen. I could actually use my laptop and sit anywhere. And people were used to being mobile, so they didn't need fancy setups or permanent desks.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point. I would certainly think that that'd be a secondary reason. And they also talk about, well, it's going to promote collaboration if you're elbow-to-elbow with the people next to you. And so I think you're absolutely right with the advent of mobile technology and having the ability to, so to speak, log into your office from wherever. It kind of made a little bit more sense that, you know, people didn't have to be in their offices behind their desk to log into their computer to get work done.
See,
so they came up with this open kind of plan to where people can hotel, you know, pick any desk that's available and things like that.
See, I thought, Bill, one of the biggest things that made open space offices really work was the innovation called earbuds, right? Because a lot of millennials actually listen to music while they're doing their work, and they can be anywhere, right? They're not going to hear noise from everything. And I think for older guys like me, that's kind of difficult. So I never really bought the argument of collaboration because I went into walk into an open office. It seems like everyone was sitting together, but really sitting apart because of the technology they were using on their ears.
Yeah, and I think that's a terrific point, Barry. You know, they're talking about let's put everybody next to each other so we can share ideas and keep each other appraised of the various changes and things that are, you know, to keep everybody up to date. But just like you said, when people aren't listening to those around them because they've got their earbuds in and they're listening to whatever it is they're listening to, number one, you're certainly not able to communicate with the others around you. And number two, I would argue, how focused and dialed in can you be if you've got some blaring music of the whatever rock band or, you know, whatever type of music you're into? To me, it's difficult when I've got, distractions, essentially.
You know, it's interesting because I think that in the late 90s and early 2000s, before the internet bubble crashed, you know, people were really competing with how cool their office could be, right? So we were doing away with cubes and private office space and things like that. But it seems that things are now changing. What is the current trend for how office design is really now?
Yeah, Barry, terrific question. You know, it used to be how many pinball machines and ping pong tables and pool tables and video games can we fit into the space? But really, if you're a founder or an investor in any company, do you want your team members to be playing games all day long, or do you want them being productive? And so that being said, the trend, people are starting to realize that at the end of the day, what promotes a successful company is a strong culture that has a strong and productive work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny when I go to offices now and I see that game room, you know, well, here's where we keep our PlayStation and this is where we've got ping pong and all this stuff. No one is ever in there.
Right, exactly.
Because they know if you're the guy, yeah, if you're the guy that's in there all the time, you're not going to have a job for very long. So I think the trend is that we're seeing less kind of just playful areas. Hey, here's where you can go and get a massage and, you know, just mess around for a little while. But at the end of the day, what owners and investors want is a productive workforce. And certainly I would argue that to have your workforce energized and, you know, rested, ready to get work done and to be able to unplug for a short while, it's very important, absolutely. But what I'm seeing is less of the bells and whistles and, you know, the game rooms and more of lounge areas, you know. And what it is the kitchens and the kitchenette areas are getting bigger and bigger. And they're becoming more of a center point, a focus area where employees can gather. And we've always heard about cooler talk, right? The water cooler talk. Well, that's coming back. That's what employers are really stressing is let's have this terrific area. Typically, it's centrally located within a space where people can eat, grab a coffee. There's plenty of comfortable seating around, and that's where people can gather, share ideas, talk about what's going on, and yes, have a little bit of talk of your personal life. Because again, a close workforce tends to generate a more loyal workforce.
You know, it's interesting what you're talking about, Bill, because as I was visualizing, it seemed like offices are really merging with how homes are, right? Where people are now, you know, sitting on comfortable couches or chairs and they're meeting in the kitchen, right? Where, you know, when you have a party, everybody kind of hangs out in the kitchen. So it's really a merging of office and work. Do you see any throwback coming soon of cubicles or more private offices?
So, you know, great point, Barry. I would agree with you 100% that the office space is almost, they're bringing some more of those home-like features into the office. And in terms of, you know, do I see a throwback to the cubes and the offices? I think the short answer is absolutely. You know, I think there's still value in, even if you're in a cube, having a little partition. It provides some semblance of privacy, and it provides some semblance of, I guess, sound protection. So if you want to make a call. But I think that, and I get, you know, right now we have 45 active clients, and obviously they're all different types of businesses. They all have different needs. But for the most part, those types of companies that had in the past preferred, well, we want our space to be entirely open with maybe a conference room or two, they're now saying, well, yeah, we still want that open area, but we got to have a couple of offices for our high-level executives. We'd like to have a couple of breakout conference rooms. So now there's more conference rooms, just smaller, for small teams to go into and have their group meetings. And then there's always the larger conference room that's really more for big pitches and when you're bringing in clients or whatnot, or you're having all company meeting. But yeah, I would agree. I do see a tendency towards putting up some partitions, getting back to the cubicles as opposed to just a long table, jamming as many people as possible onto that table. And then additional offices for senior level executives, as well as some a higher number of smaller conference rooms / offices to have, you know, your one-on-one meetings and small group meetings. So absolutely, there's a trend towards that.
I think one of the things you mentioned, and I want to ask you one more question the minute we have left, is that one thing that we really left out in all this open space was really the need still in today's small business for privacy. I find so many times there's really no place that to coworkers can go talk with each other, a manager and their someone at Workstrom can go. Privacy is still something that is very important, don't you think, in today's workplace?
100%, Barry. I think it's not just about those employee evaluations or discussions about clients or a client's business that might be, need some privacy around that. But also, you know, sometimes an employee needs to talk to their doctor or needs to make a call, just a personal call to whomever, where they're going to require some privacy. Obviously, you don't want your team members on the phone to their doctors and their loved ones all day long. But as we know, it happens. It's very normal in the course of our lives. We could be at work and something comes up.
Bill, we're out of time now. I appreciate you being on the show. If you want to contact Bill, go to www.tagcommercialbroker.com. AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning in the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center. I'm Jeremy Scott. No crashes to mention right now. The earlier crash on the ramp from the outbound Dan Ryan to the Stevenson, that's been cleared, as well as one westbound on I-90 to Jane Ams after Bustee. Now, if you are traveling through the downtown area, a couple closures to keep in mind. One of those is in Grant Park, where Columbus is closed, Roosevelt to Randolph until noon for the Chicago Spring Half Marathon. Also a little bit north of that on Wabash. And that's shut down Wacker to Hubbard for construction crane removal. Other than that, again, not looking too bad on the rest of your area roadways. No crashes to mention as you head out and about. Today, it's going to be a little wet with temperatures basically hovering around the mid-60s. Right now at O'Hare, it's 48, 49 Midway, 46th Lake. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Do you remember the race and class of D&D character that you you chose as a young girl playing D&D?
Yeah,
with your
my
friends?
Mom's basement.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
I remember thinking the Dungeons and Dragons crew was just a little off.
It's collaborative. You create this world and you make of it what you will. In collaboration with your other nerd friends who are also not going to prom.
Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Molt and get a free copy of the book.
Thousands of doctors, health specialists, and professionals recommend Balance of Nature as a way of improving their health. Listen to a few unsolicited success stories from doctors that use Balance of Nature as well.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. I take Balance of Nature because I know, I've seen it in my lab, and I know that it works. I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. And that, to me, as a scientist, rings so true.
For a limited time, use discount code CHICAGO to receive a 50% discount on your first preferred whole health system and have it shipped to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code CHICAGO.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now, on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, I've tried for years to watch and learn what makes people a great leader. My next guest says it can be broken down actually into a science. Martin Lanick, PhD, is the author of The Leader Habit, is the CEO of Pinsight, a global leadership development firm. His leadership solutions have been implemented by more than 100 companies, including AIG and CenturyLink, has received awards from Chief Learning Officer and Brandon Hall. Martin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Barry. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about the research you've done and the science of being a great leader.
Sure. So we, over the course of several years, we studied 800 managers and executives from around the world in hopes to identify the tiny microbehaviors that make them effective. So what do they do when they delegate? How do they plan? How do they think when they make decisions? And the idea is that if we can identify these tiny behaviors, we can teach people easily those small behaviors, and we can easily turn them into habits. And that's what my new book, The Leader Habit, is all about.
And so what are some of these habits or behaviors, or the leading habits or behaviors?
We identified 22 core leadership skills, and then we broke them down into those tiny little behaviors. So, for example, for delegating, we've identified that leaders, when they delegate effectively, they consider, for example, if the person they're wanting to delegate to is interested to do the task. Or when they delegate, they specify what needs to be done, but then let the employee figure out how to do that. So these are just two examples of the small micro behaviors that anybody can adopt and turn into a habit.
And what were some of the other big groups that you broke the 22 habits down into?
Sure. So they generally group in two areas. So it's getting things done. So this would be skills like planning and execution. This is where delegation and managing priorities would fall in. Solving problems, making decisions, leading change. And then there are the second group of skills that focus on people. So this is how you motivate people. This is how you influence them to get the work done. This is how you grow and develop them. And then the whole set of interpersonal skills that are about building relationships and showing caring, speaking with charisma, and so forth.
I find that one of the things that all leaders really need to know, because that's really part about being a leader, is how do you get other folks to act on your behalf or to act in the interest of the direction or the mission that you want accomplished? What is the key skill there?
It would be, from my experience, it would be really selling the vision. So being able to very concretely identify for people, where are we going? Where's the team or the organization going? So when they close their eyes, they can actually picture the arrival point. That often gives them the sense of direction and then motivates them to get the job done.
And so what is the best way to be able to do that if you're an effective leader?
Sure. So there are several aspects to this skill. And the first one is, as I mentioned, is being able to picture the arrival point. So I often use the example of man on the moon, right? Very clearly, I close my eyes and I can picture a man on the moon. So that would be the first microbehavior. And the second microbehavior is, of course, having the foresight and understand where the group or the company is heading. So being able to think strategically and think long term. What is this team or organization going to do in the next 3 to 5 years? And then the last part is understanding the followers' values and needs so that you can translate the vision in a way that appeals to these values and needs of your followers. So these would be the three micro behaviors that it takes to sell the vision.
And what behaviors do you need to exhibit if things are going really poorly in your company and you need to turn them around? Because as they say, anybody can be a captain in a smooth sea. It's when things get bad, how do you bring the team together and actually do something different so things improve?
Sure. And that would be, it really depends on where the development is happening. So is it that the group is not on the right path, or is it that people are getting distracted, they're procrastinating? Then it would be a skill of creating urgency and getting them back on track. Or maybe it could be that people don't feel empowered and they feel disengaged as a result of that from their work. So then the leader would focus on empowering them, including them in decisions and giving them decision-making authority.
And so in your book, after you've identified these key skills, the 22 key skills and habits, let's say that you don't have that skill. How do you develop it, Martin, so you can become better at that?
Yeah, that's the critical. That's, I think, the most important question, and something that I'm most excited about is how do people build these skills? And our research shows that really most effective leaders turn these skills into habits. So leadership becomes for them as natural as brushing their teeth or making their bed in the morning. And when you look at the research for how people actually build habits, you take one microbehavior, then you associate that one microbehavior with a cue, so with a reminder. And then you practice that association for average of 66 days, so about 2 months. And at that point, that behavior becomes your second nature. It becomes as natural and as easy as brushing your teeth. And that's really the point.
So a couple of things I want to point out is you said that you really have to practice this behavior for 66 days. What form does that take? How do you practice something like that? Is that practicing it, you know, once a day or three times a day? How does that work?
Yes. So we recommend that you practice once a day for those 66 days. And in my new book, The Leader Habit, what you'll see is that we've actually written a 5-minute exercises for each one of these microbehaviors. So once you understand what it is that you need to work on, or once you pick a skill that you want to perfect, then you can go through the catalog of these daily exercises and pick the one that is really targeting that particular skill.
And I really want to point out to everyone listening that what Martin is talking about is you just don't develop these skills overnight. You have to practice them every single day for 66 days, and then maybe you're at the starting point, right?
Yes, and that is exactly why we see that so much of leadership development today is not effective. Leadership skills are not developed in a classroom, in a workshop, or e-learning program. You actually have to practice skills, and they only grow through deliberate practice.
And so what is the best way to determine the skills that you really lack? Because I think many times we don't really know what we're not good at or the skills we need to improve. We have to find out some other way.
Yes, in my line of work, we often use simulation-based assessments. So we would place people in a fictitious company, and then we would role play with them different challenging leadership scenarios, and then trained psychologists usually would observe them and would rate their behaviors. But I realized that many people don't have the means or the way to actually complete this kind of assessment. So in my book, I have several different exercises that can help you to pinpoint what are the few leadership skills that you can start working on. Because if you pick the right leadership skill, and this is the second most exciting part about my new book, The Leader Habit, is that if you pick the right exercise to work on, it can actually become your keystone habit. Mm-hmm. And what seems like a 5-minute daily exercise can completely transform you and make you the leader you've always wanted to be.
So tell us someone that we might know that you think is a great leader and what you think their key cornerstone habit is.
I think that's very difficult to pinpoint to, you know, any particular person and the habit, because what we find is that the best leaders really have internalized all of these leadership skills. And based on the situation, they respond with the right habits. And that's what really makes an effective leader, is having skills that target the planning and organizing, decision-making type of getting things done skills, and then also have those people skills. And based on the situation, they can pick from their toolbox the right tool. That is what, in the end, is or makes an effective leader.
And I like that, Martin, because I think a lot of folks make the mistake is, oh, I want to be a leader like Steve Jobs, right? And there's only one Steve Jobs. You have to become your own best leader based on the skills you need to run your organization and create those habits, right?
Yes, exactly. And even more importantly is the fact that we all are different people and we have different strengths and different weaknesses. And we all are born with different natural tendencies. And that means that we're not going to be, there's not only one type of leader. We are all going to be different types of leaders. And the key is really to identify and realize what are the leadership skills that will come to me naturally.
And then develop the rest of them. Martin, thank you so much for being on the show. The title of the book is The Leader Habit. You can read Martin at am560.pinsight.com. This is AM560 The Answer. We're going to be right back.
Larry Elder just wants his politicians to tell the truth.
Well, given the fact that only Palestinians are being killed, shouldn't Israel be blamed for this?
Well, as I said earlier, we believe Hamas bears the responsibility, but this is a propaganda attempt.
Isn't it refreshing to hear an official from an administration who says the obvious thing? Israel defended itself. You don't attack, Israel doesn't respond. It's not complicated.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Mike Cantor. The teen accused of shooting and killing 10 people at a Texas high school Friday admits he planned the attack.
Demetrius Paguertas, according to court paperwork, has confessed to police and even said that he did not shoot people that he liked so they could, quote, tell his story.
Fox's Casey Stiegel, among the 10 killed, a 60-year-old substitute teacher and a Pakistani foreign exchange student. Justify on track to win the Triple Crown.
Justify! He's unstoppable! He won the Preakness! Bravazzo was second, Tenfold was third, Good Magic was fourth, and a final time of 1 minute 55 and 4/5 seconds. Not even the fog could stop him!
Announcer Larry Comas, call courtesy of NBC Sports. Justify now heads to the Belmont Stakes on Long Island, New York in 3 weeks. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center. I'm Jeremy Scott. Some new problems on the city's southwest side, where Archer Avenue is closed from Cicero to Pulaski for crash investigation and cleanup. Also, if you're traveling through Grand Park, the Chicago Spring Half Marathon shuts down Columbus, Roosevelt to Randolph until about noon. Now, that race kicks off at 7. We might see some more closures throughout the morning, but most of the race is being run on the Lakefront Trail. All your expressways and tollways are moving well, and this traffic update is sponsored by Inbound.org. There's a girl in El Salvador who dreams of becoming an engineer. There's an elder in Uganda who dreams of having a community to call his own. No two dreams are the same. Help one person achieve theirs at Unbound.org. Unfortunately, we're going to see some showers off and on throughout the day. Patchy fog, temperatures in the mid-50s to mid-60s, no matter where you are. Right now at O'Hare, it's 47, 48 Midway, 44 Lake. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out barrymoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Scientists tell us that Earth is overdue for a huge solar flare. Bad news, it'll probably fry our electronics and technology. Good news, we'll all get a spectacular tan. Well, a good place to hunker down for the looming sunpocalypse is Motel 6. You'll get a great low rate on a great room under a roof and save more for other stuff, like sunscreen or a nice big hat. Well, I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. Or maybe not.
Building relationships during recovery from mental and substance use disorders can put the strength of family and community behind you. We're all connected, offering encouragement, support, and hope. Join the Voices for Recovery. Strengthen families and communities.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referrals for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, when I got my MBA back in 1985, my employer at the time, IBM, actually paid the $50,000 for it. Now, today, that degree would probably cost over $100,000. So whether you pay for it or your employer pays for it, is it really worth the investment? Or is there another way to get that knowledge? My next guest is Lori Pickard. She founded the No Pay MBA website, which has been featured in Fortune, Entrepreneur, and the Wall Street Journal. She also works as a business and entrepreneurship development consultant, most recently at the U.S. Agency for International Development in Rwanda. She's got a new book out. It's called Don't Pay for Your MBA. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm a big fan of Rwanda. I was there last year, so they've done incredible things in that country.
Yes, they have. It's an amazing place.
It's really a great, great turnaround. So why do you say that there are, I guess, what is the alternative from going to business school? And is it as good if I'm trying to develop the knowledge and the network?
Well, so many of your listeners may not know that many universities are really giving away free versions of their courses or offering them for a very affordable price. And so there's a tremendous opportunity to get the knowledge that you would get from a traditional MBA program, but without dropping that huge amount of money that a regular MBA costs.
So give us an example of that, because what you're saying is people are making the courses available, you just don't get the degree that goes along with it.
That's exactly right. So schools like the Wharton School of Business, MIT Business School, the University of Virginia, and the list goes on and on, are creating these online versions of their courses that are intended for an online audience, and then that are being made available to the public on websites such as Coursera, edX, and there are a few others. And these are places where anybody can go and register for a course and take that course, which has pretty much the same content that is available in a traditional business school classroom. And many times these classes are available to audit completely free. Or if you want a certificate of completion for that course, you might see a fee that is around $50.
So why do you think that schools like Wharton are actually doing this?
Well, there are a few reasons. So one reason is to fulfill their mission of educating the world. Another reason is it's another channel for reaching potential students. You know, it allows people to get access to that classroom and see what a Wharton education is like, to kind of try before they buy. And it raises the profile of the school because it reaches a really international audience and is accessible to anybody anywhere. But in the process, as you're kind of reaching your goals, it also kind of opens up this avenue for people to reach their goals by taking advantage of these free and low-cost resources.
So are you saying that I could really get the same knowledge by taking these online courses versus enrolling in a degree-granting program?
That's exactly what I'm saying. So there are some people for whom those three letters behind their name really is important in the industry that they want to be in or in order to make their next career move. But there are many more people who could benefit from the kind of education that you would get in an MBA program, but for whom the credential itself maybe isn't the main thing. Their knowledge is the main thing, and that knowledge is what's available.
But one thing you do miss, I mean, when I was in MBA school, it's working together with other people in group environments and also the network. Like I graduated from Northwestern University. The network really could be critical for your business or your career as well, and you don't get that.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, if you can make that calculation that says, I'm ready to drop $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 for a network, okay, go for it. However, there are other ways of building a strong network. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity for people to put some time and attention and thought into how they can build their own network outside of the business school and kind of get that value in a different way.
You know, you say in your book, Don't Pay for Your MBA, that we're really on the brink of an education revolution. I hope we are. Why do you think so?
Well, I think that the world of work is really changing to the point that the degree that you earn in your early 20s or in your early 30s or at any point in your career that's kind of early on, it's not going to serve you for the rest of your career. So people need to keep refreshing their skills. And to this point, there really hasn't been a great way to do that. But now there are these smaller kind of bite-sized pieces of education that are very career relevant and that are available to people who are working that I think are going to really change and really actually already have changed how professionals can continue to reskill themselves throughout their careers.
Yeah, I happen to think that it has to change because with the cost of education, now fortunately, I just made my last tuition payment for my youngest son, but I think it's got to change because it's no longer affordable. I mean, the idea of going to a graduate program, I mean, I think it's a little bit different if you're going to a graduate program where you're going to be a dentist or a lawyer or a doctor or something like that. But to go to one of these other graduate programs and drop $100,000, you really got to think about, can you afford to do it? And there going to be a return on this traditional type of investment?
Exactly. And if that's an investment that you make and it's only good for, I don't know, 5-10 years, is that really worth it when you're going to need to be continually reskilling yourself throughout your career anyway?
I would agree. So, Lori, the title of the book again is Don't Pay for Your MBA. Where can people get in touch with you?
So they can reach me at my website, which is www.nopaymba.com. That's all one word, nopaymba. Or they can find me on Twitter at nopaymba or on Facebook, also nopaymba.
All right, I got to ask you one more question. Do you have an MBA?
I do not, but I have a business education that I think is just as good.
I love that. Lori, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Coming up next, how you can take advantage of the buzzword that's out there, the cloud. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Kanika Lee and the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center. On the ramp from the outbound in Ryan to the outbound Stevenson, there's a crash with injuries. But if you're headed in on the Ryan, it's just a 15-minute trip from 95th to downtown. The rest of the expressways are looking good, but if you're on the coldways, westbound on the Adams, there's a crash in the right lane after busing. Eastbound, it is clear. Traveling northbound on the tri-state, you will be on brakes from I-80 to 159th due to the full 15-minute closure up until 7 a.m. And keep in mind, southbound on the tri-state, the off-ramp is closed to eastbound 159th. Taking a look at the weather, it's 46 degrees and cloudy. We'll have a high of 49 with rain and a low of 48. Your next update is in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
One of the things that's really been very topical these days, because it's in the news, is how can you be ethical and professional at work? My next guest is Bruce Hartman. He's the founder of Gideon Advisors. He's a seasoned executive with 30 years of success creating shareholder value for Fortune 500 companies. Prior to founding Gideon Advisor, he was the executive VP and CFO at Yankee Candle Company, Cushman & Wakefield, and Foot Locker. At Foot Locker, the company rose from near bankruptcy to solid earnings generation with stock price increase over 900%. He's got a new book out. It's called Jesus & Company. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Glad to be there.
So one of the things I mentioned from the outset of this segment is that it's interesting to me that we even have to have a question about how you can be ethical and professional at work at the same time. Shouldn't those two things be interchangeable?
I think they are interchangeable, but many people get confused by it. And I think a piece of being professional is being ethical.
Why do you think that people, Bruce, get confused by those two terms?
I think this, you know, in the business place, there is always this question of what we ought to do. It doesn't necessarily mean just following the rules, but, you know, what is the best thing for our customers? What is the best thing for our employees? And there's always the temptation to take a short-term gain versus doing the right thing and getting a longer-term gain. I think people many times will opt for the short-term gain because it gets it out of the way.
Do you think, Bruce, it has to do with there's the pressure to increase shareholder value, or if you're a small business owner, it's really increasing your own value versus what's right to do in the long run? Because I know, and I've written about this in many of my books, it's hard as you approach that gray line really to always be on the side that perhaps in the long term you should be.
Now, those are the two principal drivers for people making unethical decisions. You're either trying to hit a number that Wall Street wants you to hit, and you'll do anything to get there, or if you're a small business and you know this could be your big break, maybe you cut corners or something like that. The problem with that is many times you have to clean up the residue after you make these mistakes.
Right. I absolutely agree with you. But I guess my question really is why do you think it's such an issue these days? Because it seems to me that people are really talking about it more and more. Is it because the pressure is going up, or because we're just become very, tribal in our business instincts?
I think because of the internet and the amount of news, I think it's not necessarily that ethics have increased or decreased. I think it's become more of a front burner discussion because it's more available. And I think the second thing is the amount of money you can make today is so much more significant than it was in the past. And I think that's also creating some of the pressure.
It's interesting to me, Bruce, because I always struggled with these two things, professional and ethical. And I think a lot of people that don't struggle with it, which thinks they're of the highest ethics and professional nature, sometimes those are the most challenged people.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think if you meet somebody that isn't humble, particularly when you're dealing with them, and you're always going to have to, in the back of your mind, worry about their ethics. People that put themselves above or think they're better than others are the ones that you have to be most wary of.
One of the things that you talk about, Bruce, is that the importance of authenticity and morality in business decisions. I find with a lot of folks, they'll have a brand which their company expresses a brand that says one thing, but then their personal actions or how they deal with employees, it really says another.
Yeah, and I see that a lot. And, you know, when I see that, I know they don't really believe what they expect out of their employees. And the problem with that is when you're the head of a business or the head of a large organization, I think sometimes leaders forget that their behavior has to be almost perfect all the time. There's a very practical reason for that. The employees watch what the boss does, and what the boss does, the employees do. So if you want to have an ethical company, it really starts with the leader or yourself.
So who do you admire out there in the workplace that really thinks is operating a company the way that you would want to operate a company, both from an ethical, professional standpoint, authenticity, and morality?
You know, there's a lot of them. You know, Tyson's Food, Chick-fil-A, AutoNation. I mean, there's a large number of them. I really like Apple in terms of, you know, their vision and their product, a little bit worried about some of their issues on security. But in general, I would say most companies that I work with are pretty strong with it and have a high ethics. Now, this issue with Facebook is obviously alarming. The way they set the defaults, and some of the stuff seems to be more self-serving for Facebook. And you can see what happened with them as they as they've had problems, the stock price has gone down, they've lost viewers. This is a really good example of what happens when you don't do what you should do with customer information.
One of the last points I want to make, got about 30 seconds left. You know, my son, when he was growing up, he always asked me, well, Dad, why should we do the right thing? A lot of times people that don't do the right thing, they get ahead. And I keep saying, because it's not of who you are. Right. That's the best answer.
Right.
So, Bruce, I appreciate you being on the show. If people want to get in touch with you, where should they turn to?
www.brucelhartman.com.
Bruce, thanks so much. This is AM560, The Answer. We're going to be right back talking about how to get your small business unstuck.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Is your home ready for the summer? Do you have ugly green and black stains on your home? Spray and Forget, the original no-rinse exterior cleaner, eliminates these ugly stains caused by mold, mildew, and algae. Spray and Forget brilliantly cleans roofs, decks, siding, fencing, walkways, driveways, outdoor furniture, and more. Remove stains up to 50% faster than competing no-rinse cleaners. Make your home and outdoor living spaces brilliant again. Look for the yellow label at participating Ace, Home Depot, True Value, and Do It Best stores.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress starting at just $600. Just go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress made just for you with a 100-night sleep trial and financing as low as 0%. And during our Memorial Day sale, go to helixsleep.com/talkradio and you'll get up to $150 towards your mattress order. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
You know, you and I are very much alike. During the many years of running my own company, I didn't deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't quite going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar? It's especially difficult for me since many of my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering. Second, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stuck business was literally sucking the life and the money out of me. This was not exactly the way I thought it would be after reading all those books on having my own company. Well, don't worry. This is normal. Well, sort of, because during the life cycle of every small business gets stuck from time to time. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few leads for new customers coming in, and the customers you do have continue to phase. You're burned out, and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. You'll want to get off that roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride the entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be this way. I've had my ups and downs, and I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving any business forward. Over the years, I've worked with hundreds of corporate and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout decades of running my own businesses, I've identified six major areas where almost every business inevitably gets stuck. This is your year to get unstuck. As you journey through the Breakthrough Training Series, I'm going to show you a fast, easy, and permanent solution to get unstuck. Each of my modules includes a PowerPoint presentation, a video recording of me presenting these materials live, a downloadable lesson notes, and downloadable homework assignments. The MP3 recordings of selected interviews from some of the best known world leaders on this radio show is also included for free. Whether you learn best from watching, listening, or reading there's a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action for moving forward. So there are six modules, which I guarantee that you'll improve your sales if you utilize this system. Module one is finding new customers and growing the ones you have. Module two is finding money to manage your business because it's already there. Module three is building a team that actually lasts. Module four is to realize that customer service is now the new marketing. Module five is breaking your social media addiction. And module six is the real trick to boosting your productivity. So right now, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price of $97. You'll learn the exact step you need today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining this week's radio show. I also want to thank our sponsors, Staples, Nextiva. I also want to thank our tremendous staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year, then you got to give me a call. And I'm going to give you my private number. Get a pen, write this down. 773-837-8250 or email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you move your business ahead? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money that you know you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
Can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
As a parent,